I should say, all you lucky people to have me here doing this, but there we go. We'll see how we get on. Right, we'll open our service this morning with a couple of verses from Psalm 147. Sing hymns of praise to the Lord. Play music on the harp to our God. He spread clouds over the sky. He provides rain for the earth and makes the grass grow on the hills. He gives animals their food and feeds the young ravens when they call. We'll now sing hymn number 147, which is based on Psalm 147. Let us pray. Almighty God, provider of all things, we meet here today in your house to bring our prayers of thanksgiving. Lift our spirits this day and let us throw those matters which are worrying us for your help. All things are possible. You are the God of wisdom, might and majesty. We see your hand of creation all around us. We see the sunshine and the rain and all of the natural beauty that needs these elements to thrive. After days of warming sunshine, we thank you for the rain that has once again returned to fill our rivers and reservoirs. Today, Lord, we ask that you fill our hearts with joy and gladness, and that we, your children, continue to praise your holy name. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name, and we'll now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We'll sing again now. Hymn number 672, There Is a Name I Love to Hear.
Thank you.
My first reading is taken from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 11, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you, because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. So then, happiness. When I was young, my mother would often be found singing. She liked singing. Having been brought up in a very Christian family, her songs would be very much based on hymns or some sort of chorus. One thing that has never left me was the song she used to sing, "I am H-A-P-P-Y." Does anyone know that? Yeah. "I am H-A-P-P-Y, I am H-A-P-P-Y, I know I am, I'm sure I am, I'm H-A-P-P-Y." It was lovely because if anything happened or there was any tension between me and my sister or anybody else, and things were running a bit high, Mum would just simply burst into, "I am H-A-P-P-Y." Always worked, stopped us, and all the arguments just faded away. Similarly, Ken Dodd used to sing, "Happiness. Happiness, the greatest thing that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness." I wonder how many of us actually do that. So are you happy? Have you been blessed with more than your share of happiness? What makes you happy? Some of our membership here were over at Desbury yesterday at the 40s afternoon, and I took my 1938 car. That made me happy because it got me there. It didn't know whether it wanted to come back, but it did actually get me home in the end. So that's the sort of thing that makes me happy. I'm sure you can all think of things that make you happy. And we need to be happy. There's a lot of things in this world at the moment that take us the other way. But when you look through and the reading that I just read, one of the main things I think there that we really need to concentrate on are, happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. That text covers practically everything that we can think of in our daily lives. If you're poor, be happy. If you're mourning, be happy. Humble, be happy. To do God's will, be happy. Showing mercy to others, be happy. If you're pure in heart, be happy. This is got to be one of our main aims as Christians, to be pure, try to be pure in heart, try to help all of those around us that may be poor, may be mourning. So, what is true happiness? You as Christians should be very happy. We know God, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're watching over us every day. That should make us very happy. We should never be miserable or unhappy, but we do get down, we do get fed up, we do get disheartened. It makes me wonder how many of those that have not heard the good news of Jesus could be happy, for they have the main thing missing in their lives. And without Jesus in their lives, I can understand that they would be very miserable. So today, knowing who's watching over us, let us go forth from here as happy people, with smiles on our faces. Later in my next talk, we're going to look at speech and language, and I'm going to be reading from James about the tongue. And we should probably see there what James is actually saying, that the tongue can be a very dangerous thing. Okay. Now, one for you then, Jane. My next song is "Oh Happy Day," because I want to make us all happy people here this morning. We'll be all right, don't worry.
Thank you. rejoicing every day. Hallelujah, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away.
Verses 1 to 9. Now, I can only ever remember one service many, many years ago when I was probably not much older than Albie, where somebody came to Allwinkle and actually did his whole sermon and whole service based upon these 9 verses. At first, the people of the whole world had only one language and used the same words. As they wandered about in the east, they came to a plain in Babylonia and settled there. They said to one another, "Come on, let's make bricks and bake them hard," so that they had bricks to build with and tar to hold them together. They said, "Now let's build a city with a tower that reaches the sky, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth." Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which those men had built, and he said, "Now then, these are all one people, and they speak one language. This is just the beginning of what they are going to do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. Let us go down and mix up their language so that they will not understand one another." So the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. The city was called Babylon, because the Lord mixed up the language of all the people, and from there he scattered them over all the earth. And I thought, having read that, there was only really one song that we could follow that with. Sorry. And that is, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
Thank you.
My next reading is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And it's entitled The Tongue. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. As you know, we teachers will be judged with greater strictness than others. All of us often make mistakes. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and is also able to control his whole being. We put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey us, and we are able to make it go where we want. Or think of a ship, big as it is and driven by such strong winds, it can be steered by a very small rudder, and then it goes wherever the pilot wants it to go. So it is with the tongue. Small as it is, it can boast about great things. Just think how large a forest can be, set on fire by a tiny flame. And the tongue is like that, like a fire. It is a world of wrong, occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being. It sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself. Human beings can tame and have tamed all other creatures, wild animals and birds, reptiles and fish, but no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. It is evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. We use it to give thanks to our Lord and Father, and also to curse other people who are created in the likeness of God. Words of thanksgiving and cursing pour out from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. A fig tree, my brothers and sisters, cannot bear olives. A grapevine cannot bear figs. Nor can a salty spring produce sweet water. Earlier, we spoke of happiness. It's good to spread a bit of happiness, especially in these days we are currently living in, when all you hear is doom, gloom, and despondency. And I think some of the things that we've seen happen this last week just bear that one out. How strange it must have been for those people at the Tower of Babylon. All go in there speaking the same language and leaving not being able to understand each other's language. Imagine what that would be like if every one of you walked out here speaking in a different language this morning. Furthermore, the Jews were then scattered all over the earth, taking these languages with them. From this, we can assume that that was the basis of the many languages we know of today. Another comment that we hear quite a lot is lost in translation. How many of us have found ourselves in a situation, possibly when being on holiday abroad, not being able to understand the people around us, mainly because we do not understand the language of the country that we are in? If I suddenly decided to do the rest of this service in another language, you might think I'd lost the plot, or reach for your Google translations on your phone. I don't imagine any of you'd be very HAPPY. I certainly wouldn't, because I don't know how I'd manage that bit, but there we are. How many of you can speak a foreign language fluently? I've written on here at this point, offer a bit of French. When I went to school, and in the year I was in, and it was a grammar school, there was about 120 of us took French O level, 19 passed. Do I need to say any more about that? So I won't offer you a bit of French, you're all right. Aujourd'hui. It's quite often said that the British way of going about this issue is to speak very slow and loud. Then they'll all understand. I've experienced that as well. Always works. Obviously, that wasn't considered by God when he mixed the languages up at the Tower of Babylon. It's not just a different language, but on top of that, in this country, we have regional accents too, as do many other countries. Now, I'm originally from Rouen's, or if you live in Rance, it's Rance. There's no D in it. There's no T in Kettering either, but never mind. And of course, in Rance, we speak proper English. My dad always used to say, you know you're speaking proper English from Rouen's because the Queen always used to say off. And everybody in Rouen's, it's always off. I'm the fourth generation of Rouen's families. My great-grandfather went to Rouen's from Master Mortain near Bedford and married a lady from Rouen's. Both my grandparents were from Rouen's, and my dad was born there. He only ever left Rouen's to go to fight during the Second War. Centre of the universe is Rouen's. When I was growing up there, most of those that I went to school with were also Rouen's families. True, there was a few new families moving into the town from different areas of the country. And with the proximity to Chelveston, Molesworth and Alconbury air bases, we had quite a number of children in the schools. That was never a thing at Rouen's. We just mixed with American children, and it just seemed quite the normal thing to be done. Very multicultural was Rouen's. That was back in the early 60s. I must certainly were brought up speaking ent, kent, wunt, shent, nena, gunna. Anything other than this, and you were deemed posh. My father very definitely spoke with a Rouen's accent all his life, and my mother originated from Norfolk and never lost her accent either. And then at secondary school, which as I said was a grammar school, I was taught French with the option of Spanish. Well, if we never got past French, we wouldn't get past Spanish. I never really stood a chance. One could say that we had a job speaking English in Rouen's, and I had to try and lose my Rouen's accent to fit in with those that I was now at school with. If you hailed from Rouen's, and you've got to know Rouen's pretty well to pick up what I'm going to say next, a typical comment would be, I have been down the street today, madup. There weren't half a lot of folk in the co-op. Should have thought they were giving something away in a sale or something. Now, I could go on, but I won't. Or I wouldn't. Now, of course, in Rouen's, the centre of Rouen's is just the co-op, basically. There wasn't anything else, not when I was growing up, so everybody went. And street, that was anything that went from the square down to the town hall. It was called Brook Street, but nobody ever used the word Brook Street. It was always the street, because that's where the shops were. Even when we do use the same language, it can still be a bit different. Some years back now, when I was working in Northampton, we were taken over by an American company, and a gentleman came over to work with us for 6 months. And we used to spend all our weekends out and about. He wanted to see the ocean. I said, well, I'll take you to Hunstanton. I said, we have seas, but we don't have oceans here. And you couldn't see the sea when we got there because it was such thick fog. He liked castles. Why? I don't know. He just had this thing about castles. I mean, he was a lovely chap, really was. And we didn't have to watch our P's and Q's. We knew each other too well after 6 months. So on one occasion, I took him to Warwick Castle. And we were walking round and he read this plaque on the wall. And I can hear him now. And he said, gosh, he said, this Earl of Warwick was some guy. And I went, Terry, shush, it's Warwick. And he just turned around and looked at me and said, you guys certainly slaughter the English language. Yeah. And we, in 2017, went to China. I didn't want to go, but never mind. I was forced into it in a way. And the guide in Beijing took us to see the Great Wall of China. If you have been, good. If you haven't been, don't worry. Something there was definitely lost in translation, because you have to go on a... We had our own vehicle, which we had our own guide and driver taking us, and you had to park your cars and coaches all in this car park, and then you were transported up this hill on transportation that was provided just to go that last bit. Then when you got to the top of the hill, you were given the option to get up to the wall in either a cable car or a chairlift. And whatever he said to my wife, I don't know, but all I can say, that was definitely lost in translation, because we ended up on a chairlift. I have an absolute fear of heights. I'm going up in this chairlift, all you could see were that had earthquakes and things prior, and there were great sections of ground that had just literally dropped into itself, and the trees were still growing. I'd never been so scared in all my life going up there. But, and then we had to come down, but we did have the choice of coming down in a toboggan or back on the chairlift. Now, I don't know what you'd do, but I had to risk it and come back again. It was awful. And they took photographs of you as you got to the top of the hill, right, to get onto the wall. We never bought that one. I once attended a service at Allwinkle Baptist Church. The service was taken by a group of Italian Baptists. It was very different, but very interesting. The leader only spoke Italian, and a young lady stood next to him and translated his sermon as he spoke. That was quite a thing to do. She'd got no idea what he was going to say, and bless her, I can still see her standing there now and looking at him and thinking, I hope I've got this right. I suppose that I'm a bit old-fashioned, but comedy today seems full of swear words, which is supposedly deemed as funny. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned humour? You never heard a bad word on the TV when I was younger, but now it seems common. Without a tongue, none of us would be able to speak very well, if at all. The trouble is, none of us always use the power of speech and language to speak the truth or spread cheer and happiness. I dare say we all get stressed and find ourselves in a situation whereby instead of biting our tongue, we express our feelings. Let rip, and responded, I dare say, with words that would not fit into my sermon here in church this morning. Afterwards, we have no doubt regretted saying the things we have. Our reading from James starts off with a comment that teachers will be judged with greater strictness than others. Well, standing here this morning and in delivering this talk, I'd better be careful, because even if I delivered it with a strong East North Ants accent in French or whatever, God would still understand me. The passage from James in verse 2 then goes on to say that we all make mistakes unless that person is perfect and able to control their whole being. I don't know anyone other than Jesus that can fit that particular category. Do you? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all say things we shouldn't and subsequently can cause a problem. I'm sure we can all relate matters like to matters like this. Mind you, I do get regularly reminded, and I won't say where it comes from, I'm sure you'll guess, we can't all be perfect, can we? Gossip is another term where people spread incorrect information. I remember once here in the service, we had all the kids from the Sunday school out the front, and that's when we had quite a few. And the minister who was taking the service whispered something in the one at that end's ear and asked him to pass it on. Well, by the time it got down this end, it was nothing like what had been said at that end. Let's put it that way. Speech and comment can cause great harm. We only have to look at the world we live in to see that. I do wonder how many politicians and world leaders can live with themselves. Social media and such like spread non-information extremely fast. Now, when I wrote this, this was several weeks ago when Keith asked me if I'd take the service. And last night, having watched some of the things on the television and what was being said by a certain person, I thought, dare I actually read it? I think all of you will have to make your own minds up as to what you think about certain things as they're going on at the moment. One incorrect comment will spread like wildfire via these modern communication facilities. I sometimes wonder if that's all they are there for, to spread discourse. And it's said to be interesting. What would it be like if the news and social media only spread happiness every day? I suppose that wouldn't be considered newsworthy or sensationalised. Just imagine if the news this evening transmitted that people in a church in Kettering spoke today of their happiness in finding Jesus and urged everyone else to come and find out more. Would it make the news? Our reading goes on to say that we use the tongue to praise our Lord and Father and also to curse other people. How true. James says that this should never happen. Deep down, we all know this is true, but we all do it. We only have one tongue and one mouth to communicate with. It's all about controlling our thoughts and speech. James points out that a fig tree cannot bear olives and a grapevine cannot bear figs. But as human, we have the ability to speak both good and bad. There is so much hate in the world. Some would say it's free speech. We see wars going on at the moment and talks of peace to stop the wars. The comments that we see and hear on the TV don't always help bring in peace. Ultimately, peace talks will have to happen if the wars are going to stop. Leaders will have to sit down with each other, enemy to enemy, and try and find a solution. Recent meetings of this nature have not brought a lot of hope, and we've seen the consequences played out on live TV. Matthew 5, verse 9. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. We certainly need a few people of this type to step forward. So what about us as individuals? Are we going to try a bit of self-restraint in our comment? Are we fitting our Christian duty to act as Matthew states. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kind of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. Let us try to think before we speak. Try not to say things that we know will offend and upset people. Instead, let us try to spread some happiness, love, and reasoning in the week ahead. Show those around us our Christian love, and pray for those who have been elected to lead our countries, that whatever language they speak, they do it to bring peace and happiness in the world, and not incite hatred. Amen. We'll now bring our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty God, we live in a world where things are far from right. Nations seem to be fighting nation. Guns and killing are simply not the answer, whatever language we speak. This morning we at Carey pray for peace in this world. May those who lead their countries speak earnestly for peace and stability, or not say one thing and do nothing. We pray for this town of Kettering and the churches in the town, that we can all get along together peacefully and do the work as Jesus asks us. Spread happiness to those around us. We pray for those members of this congregation that are unwell today, that they may feel your healing hand upon them and that they are returned to full health. And finally, we pray for the deacons and all those that work on your behalf to keep this church open. May this place of worship continue to offer those looking for you, Father, to find you in this busy world. Amen. We're now going to sing hymn number 269, I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead. And then we'll say the blessing together, and afterwards we'll finish with song 460, May God's Blessings Surround You Each Day, which Leah and Jane know extremely well, because we always used to end the Sunday school lessons with that, and I was brought up with that at Allwinkle. It was always sung after the service. Let's stand and sing, I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead. as we go out of here today, let us go out and spread a bit of cheer and happiness. And let us all trust the God of miracles. And we'll say together now the blessing. May God's blessing right, now we'll sing it. May God's blessing surround you.
Presence within.